All right, get your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. We're continuing a series on discipleship lessons, the fundamentals of the faith, the foundations upon which our faith can grow. We are today now entering into level 3 of these discipleship lessons. And so these lessons are going to tend to be a little bit more, I don't know if the word deeper is the appropriate word, but they're going to be more, they're not, we're leaving some of the basics behind and we're moving on, if you will. We've talked a lot of things about, a lot of the fundamentals, the basics like salvation, baptism, the Trinity, Jesus Christ. And these that we're going to talk about now are a little bit more on the mature side. That if you've gone through the first levels, the first level 1 and level 2, building upon that here in level 3 is going to, I hope, expand your faith and your knowledge in this Christian world that you live in. And your relationship with God, your relationship with your Bible, we want to deepen it and broaden it. We don't want you to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We want you to know what you believe and why you believe it. And it shouldn't be because the pastor says so. It should be because you know the scriptures. So in these discipleship lessons, we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture. And so today we're going to be looking at the doctrine of grace. The doctrine of grace. It's a key doctrine when it comes to our faith, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to how we function as a Christian, our relationship with God, all of that. Grace is a key part. So we'll begin here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 7. Paul is writing here and he says this. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." We don't know exactly what this thorn in the flesh was. We're not certain. Some people think it could have been a disease. Others that he had bad eyesight. At one point, he says, "You see how large of a letter I write to you." And doesn't mean lengthy. He just means he has to write real big so he can see it. Some people feel that's what he's talking about here. We don't know exactly what it was. But for 3 times, he asked God to take it away. 3 times, God is going to say, well, 1 time God finally says or answers him in verse number 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is" what? Sufficient. So my grace is sufficient. You should notice that. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or my weaknesses, my insufficiencies, if you will. Correct? My lack. I will glory in my lack, my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he makes an amazing statement here in verse number 10, one that I still struggle to live through by, and that one is this one. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." Man, how do you do that? I've got back problems, and I've never taken pleasure in it. I've never taken pleasure in any infirmity that I've ever had, but he says, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." And here's why. "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, how is that possible? You can't be both weak and strong at the same time. You're either weak or you're strong. You can't be both. But he makes the statement that when I am weak, I become strong. Why? Through the grace of God. It is God's grace that makes us strong. So what is grace? What is grace? There are many different definitions of grace. The most common one that I've heard all growing up is that grace is unmerited favor. And in fact, the word favor and grace are used interchangeably throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Bible says, for example, that Jesus increased in favor and wisdom. Well, that favor is the same word as translated in many other places as grace. So he increased in grace. So yes, I would certainly say that grace is a type of favor. But I think it's more than that. And I don't think it's unmerited. I don't think it's unmerited. Because the Bible's pretty clear in many places that people merited grace, or they did something to get God's grace. But we just think it's favor, as if God just kind of looks favorably upon you. And so almost like a good luck charm, that things are kind of going to go your way. That's often how we've described grace, but that's not accurate. Grace isn't like a good luck charm. It's not like God says, okay, I'm going to kind of spin things a little bit and good things are going to happen to you. That's never how grace is described in the Bible. It's particularly not here in this particular passage. He was asking God to take away something. He says, no, I'm not going to take this away. My grace is all you need to get the job done. So where you're weak, he says, so when I am weak, then I am strong because of God's grace. Let's look at another passage here. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So just go back a few chapters here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, notice that. All grace. So this is more than just God leaning in your direction, having a favorable attitude towards you. He says, all grace to abound to you, that, here's why, that, so that ye always having all what? Sufficiency. You see that again? Having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So the purpose of grace here is so that you have the what you need to abound to every good work. So that whatever it is that God has asked you to do, grace is how you get it done. Let's look at one more here. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5. So go back a few more chapters now. He doesn't use the word grace in this particular verse, but it kind of defines grace. Verse number 5, 2 Corinthians 3, 5. The Bible says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. He says, look, we in ourselves, we're not up to the task. We're all lacking. We're all weak, if you will. We all no one here is going to be a great spouse on your own. We're all lacking. No one here could be a good friend on your own, a good parent on your own, a good Christian on your own. Do whatever it is that God's called you to do on your own. Oh, I got this. I can handle this. I'm going to do this in my own strength and power and talent and skill and ability. No, we're all lacking. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. We're just not. But our sufficiency is of who? God. So all the things that we need come from God. That is the definition of grace. Grace is God's provision for our insufficiencies. Where we fall short, where we lack, grace steps in. That is what grace is. And so, yes, it's favor. So grace is God's provision for our insufficiencies. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. This is a well-known verse, but let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find what? Why do we need grace? To help in the time of need. There it is again. Grace is God's provision for our insufficiencies. It's more than God just saying, hey, I like that guy more than that guy. I like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups more than Snickers. I favor this cereal over that cereal. It's a lot more than just a leaning toward. It is the help you need when you need it. That is God's grace. Grace and favor, like as I mentioned, are interchangeable in the Bible, and you see them back and forth, but it's a lot more than just the way we see the word favor. In Ephesians, take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. If you ever go out and give the gospel, this is a couple of verses you should put in your back pocket to be able to pull out when you need it, when you want to give the gospel to somebody, particularly those who are counting upon their own personal work to get them to heaven. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through what? And now notice the next part. And that not of your what? Selves. It is the gift of God. Next verse. Not of what? Works. Lest any man should boast. He's saying here that you cannot get to heaven through your own ability. You'll never be good enough to get to heaven. The only thing you need is faith. If you have faith, God gives you grace. How does God give you grace in this case? Well, since you can't get to heaven on your own, he had to provide for your insufficiency a way to get to heaven. In fact, we can read about that in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse number 12, which says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice that. You have the faith, then God brings the grace. What is the grace? The power to become the sons and daughters, the children of God. And so that's what grace is. God said they can't do it on their own. They can't. They're never going to be perfect. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God is going to have to do something to make up the difference from where we're short. That is called grace. That's called grace. The Bible says, and we'll look at this a little bit further on. Well, I'll skip it for right now because we'll be talking about it here in a little bit. There are actually many different types of grace because there are many different types of things we need. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10, 1 Peter 4:10, the Bible says this. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That word manifold means many different kinds, many different types. So there are many different types of grace because there are going to be many different types of insufficiencies, many different types of lack, many different types of needs, many different types of what I might need is not what you might need. So God may give me the grace to pastor First Baptist Church of Miami. That is not what you need. That's my job. That's what God has called me to do. And so God may give you the grace to do what he's called you to do. It's a different type of grace. In fact, just to help drive that point home, let's look at a couple other verses here. Romans 12:6. Romans 12:6 says this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So we all have different gifts according to the grace. What is grace again? God's provision for our insufficiencies. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Everybody's going to have different things that God's called them to do, and there's going to be different gifts to meet the need. And this is according to the grace that is given to us. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8, Ephesians 3:8, this is Paul talking here. And he says this, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He says that the particular grace that was given to him was for the purpose of preaching to the Gentiles. At another place, he talks about that there was a different grace given to Peter to preach to the Jews. God called Peter to preach to the Jews. God called Paul to preach to the Gentiles. And so he gave them what they needed to do what he called them to do. Different grace. Different grace. Ephesians, go one chapter over if you're still in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 7. This is just all reinforcing this idea, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Notice that. Every one of us is given grace, but according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And we just read that God gives us different gifts, different tasks. So the grace is going to be different as well to accomplish those tasks. This is a wonderful thing. This is a wonderful thing. I mean, we talk about grace. Oh, I mean, God has more favor, but my Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. But God favors you more, and it's unmerited. So if it's unmerited, then it sounds like it's like Russian roulette or the lottery, or, I mean, it's just kind of like a, you just hope because you can't earn it. So why would God give it to you, or what causes God to give it to you? And so if that's the case, then God would give it to you whether you're being good or bad. It doesn't matter. If it's unmerited, God just... But that's not what grace is. Knowing that grace is God's provision for insufficiencies helps us understand that God, we know God is going to give us what we need to do what God has called us to do. If you're married, God's called you to that marriage. So God's going to give you what you need. For some people, that might be a lot more grace, Brother Todd, than for others. Uh-oh. I meant Sister Vicky. I got it mixed up. I'm sorry. But everybody is going to be different. But that means you can do it. Whatever it is that God's called you, God will equip you and give you what you need to accomplish it. That brings me a tremendous amount of comfort. That's what we need. Now, switching gears here a little bit, I'm going to talk about grace versus the law. I told you we're getting a little bit deeper here. But I want to talk about that, and then we'll talk about how to get grace. Because the Bible teaches how we get grace. And again, if it's unmerited favor, then there's nothing to teach. It's just whenever God decides to give you grace, He will. But if it's much more than that, if it's something that you can get, I'll show you how, because the Bible's very clear on how we get grace. But let's talk about grace versus the law. And this is important to understand, because this is a division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament was under the law. The law was the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In those five books, there are 613 very specific laws that the Jews were given to obey. These laws, by and large, were designed to ultimately point toward Jesus Christ, because they didn't have a Savior back then. Jesus hadn't died on the cross. And you can't go up, you can't go to Moses and say, you need to believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus hadn't been born yet. But they were to point to a coming Savior. And so when a Jew kept the law, they were expressing their faith in a coming Messiah. Does that make sense? Again, no one in the Old Testament ever actually went to heaven. They all went to paradise. And Jesus went and preached to them, and then they had to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's how they get to heaven. We're all going to get to heaven the same way, through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So that even includes all those who died before Jesus was even born and died on a cross. But that they didn't go to heaven. David said, thou wilt not keep my soul in hell. And he meant not the fire side, but the paradise side of the grave, if you will. And so, but in the Old Testament, so they're expressing their faith in a coming Messiah, which might have put them on that paradise side, and to wait Jesus Christ coming by keeping the law. And the law we'll look at it here in a little bit, but the law was a schoolmaster to point to grace
to point to Jesus Christ. The New Testament, after Jesus comes, Jesus fulfilled the whole law. He is the fulfillment of the law. So it's, we no longer have to, quote unquote, keep the law. Some of the moral side of it, like thou shalt not kill, we probably should keep that one, right? Keep doing that one. Thou shalt not steal, I like that one as well. We should probably keep that one around. Thou shalt not, you know, bear false witness, lying, I like that one too. I mean, there's a bunch of them I still like that we should probably do. And if you're walking with God, those are the type of things you want to do, you should want to do normally anyways. Doesn't mean you'll do it perfectly. Hopefully the thou shalt not kill one you will do perfectly. But we want to be able to move. You follow what I'm saying? But however, the Jews understood that the scriptures, the law, was how they would get to heaven one day. But it was, they were right and they were wrong. They were looking at it as the end result. If we keep the law, that's why I'll go to heaven. That's not true. You keep the law as a profession of your faith and a coming Savior. That's what it was always meant to be. It was always meant to point all the animal sacrifices. All of the law was to point to Jesus Christ. It's a foreshadow of Jesus, the Bible tells us in Colossians. And so the New Testament is about grace. In fact, take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. Romans 5:20 says this, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." So the law entered to make sin sin. You can't have sin. If there was no command that said thou shalt not kill, then why would killing somebody be wrong? There has to be a law to make sin. In fact, there's a verse that says that, that the law was to make sin exceedingly sinful. That was the purpose of the law, was to make, to determine right and wrong. But grace, God's provision, because you can't get to heaven ultimately by keeping the law. You can't do it. You need grace. And that was Jesus Christ. We already looked at that. You are saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves, as the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Romans 6:14 says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." It's talking about the New Testament, under Jesus Christ, what Jesus did for us. Now we have what we could not get to heaven by keeping the law. You, in theory, you could get to heaven by keeping the law if you kept it perfectly your entire life. You never messed up one time. But we're born with a sin nature, so no one's going to do it that way. So we're all going to be short. We're all going to be lacking. And that's where God sent the grace. We are under grace now. And so verse 15 says, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace?" He says, "Oh, well, I got my fire insurance. I can just do whatever I want. God's still going to take me to heaven." God forbid, he says. God forbid. That is not. We should not abuse the grace of God by sinning just because we feel like, oh, I get to go to heaven no matter what I do. Nah, should we do that? No. God forbid. God forbid we ever be like that. Galatians 2:21 says this. Galatians 2:21 says this, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." He says, I do not frustrate what God has given to us. Remember, grace is God's provision for our insufficiencies. He says, I do not frustrate God's gift, way of salvation. If you can get to heaven, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead for no reason at all. That's what he says here. If you can get to heaven by just being good enough, then Christ died for no reason. Because I don't frustrate or make no effect the grace of God. You see then that contrast between grace and the law. Let's look at another one. Galatians 5:4 says this, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law." He says, if you're trying to justify yourself by keeping the law, then Christ is of no purpose to you at all. And then he says this, you are fallen from grace. Galatians 5:4.
Galatians 5:4. Galatians, go back a couple chapters, Galatians chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. This is explaining the purpose of the law. And I want to read this so you understand what the purpose of the law is here. Verse 21 of Galatians 3, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. He says, look, if there could have been a law given that would give eternal life, then righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That's God's grace right there. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto whom? Christ. That's the whole purpose of the law, was to point to Jesus Christ. The law was designed to say, hey, you're a sinner, you need a savior, you need Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith and not by the law. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the whole purpose of the law. And grace is the ultimate God's provision for the fact that we could never keep the law perfectly to get to heaven. Does that all make sense so far to everybody? So these are level 3 lessons now, so they are going to intend to be a little bit more deeper and a bit built on these previous ones here. So how do you get grace? If grace is more than just God's unpredictable favor towards you, if grace is leaning in your direction, if grace is God's provision for your insufficiencies, how do you get it? I understand, again, so many people have taught that grace is God's unmerited favor. If it's unmerited, then there's nothing you can do to get it. How do we get grace? Let's find out. See what the Bible says. James chapter 4, verse number 6. We'll start there. James chapter 4, verse number 6. How do we get grace? I love this verse. The Bible says, but he giveth, that's God, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So the first way you can get grace, or what you need, is by humility. The proud says, I don't need you, God. I got this. I can do what I want. I can do this. I can do this on my own. I got this. That's the pride speaking. Humility says, God, I need you. Can't do this on my own. Please help me. God give his grace to the humble. In fact, he says it twice. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So humility is a prerequisite. One of the ways that you can get God's grace is where you, and humility isn't self-deprecation. Humility isn't saying, oh, I'm so bad, I'm so lousy, I'm a horrible person. That's not humility. That's actually still pride. It still put you at the center of things. Humility is, instead of you focusing on you, it's you focusing on someone else. It's you lifting someone else up. It's you saying, God, I can't do this, but you can. You can do this. You got the power. You can do this. Please help me. That's humility. So number one, humility. Number two, living righteously. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8 says this about a man called Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, does that mean if grace is unmerited favor, then does that mean that he was a wicked man? He could have been a wicked man, and God would still give him grace? No. What does it say about Noah? Can anybody find a verse right in there that talks about Noah? About what type of man he was? But where is the verse? There's a verse right around in there someplace that talks about what type of man Noah was. What does it say? No wonder he found grace. He walked with God. If you want grace, walk with God. Amen? You walk with God, no wonder Noah found grace. It wasn't just a random person that God said, I'll pick a random person. No, this man was perfect in his generations. He was an upright man, a just man, and he walked with God. No wonder he found grace. If you want to find grace as well, if you want to find God giving you what you need for when you need it, walk with him. Walk with him. Read your Bible. Pray. Have a spiritual mindset. Talk with him frequently. Amen? Let's look at another one. Exodus 33:17, talking about Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I know thee by name. You think maybe Moses walked with God to get that? In fact, look what God says about Moses. Go back to verse number 11. Chapter 33 and verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Wow. Wow. Do you see that? Do you think there's any wonder why Moses found grace? Moses had a big task. He had to lead some people believe up to 3 million people across a desert. And these 3 million people, a vast majority of them were complainers. You try to lead a bunch of complainers and tell me how well you do. You would need grace too, amen? Oh, man. So Moses found grace because he and God walked together. He talked to Moses as a friend face to face. What an amazing statement that is. So yes, so you want to find grace, humility, and walking with God. Humility and walking with God. And another, the third way, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. The Bible says, who hath saved us, talking about Jesus, and called us, notice that, called us with a holy what? Calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and what? Grace. What is grace? What you need. His own purpose and his own sufficiency, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So the first way is humility. Second way is walking with God. The third way is to walk in your calling, to do what you're called to do. Because when you do what God asks you to do, you take that step of faith, God will always give you what you need to do it. Let's look at another verse, Galatians chapter 1, and verse number 15. Paul is talking here again. Galatians chapter 1, and verse number 15. He says this, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, there's that calling again, called me by his what? Everybody there? It's by his grace. By his grace. He called me by his grace. There's that calling again. Even Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2 or verse 52, the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor or grace with God and man. What happened here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52? He's 12 years old. And he began to talk and with the doctors of the law in the temple, and he was teaching, and he said, I must be about my father's, sure enough. And then, soon as he made that declaration, this happened. He went back home, was subject to his parents, and said, the Bible says, that he grew in grace or favor with God and man. Because he began to walk in the calling that God called him to. So three ways you can get grace, the Bible talks about. Humility, because that's a recognition that you need God, correct? Humility, walking with God, spending time with God, loving God, and then doing what God has called you to do. God will give you what you need to do that. God will give you what you need to be a good husband, a good wife, a good mom, a good father, a good friend, a good Christian. What a good teacher, Sunday school teacher. One, now at some point we want to start some Sunday schools classes for the kids so we get more kids in Sunday school. That is something we absolutely want to do. We're going to need teachers to step up that you feel God has called you to do that. And you say, I don't know if I can do that. Well, if God's called you, then he's the one who's going to make it so that you can do it. You don't have to worry about it. Amen. You get grace if you just step up and do it. It takes faith. So humility, walking with God, and an act of faith to do what God's called you to do, that is how you get grace. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this wonderful truth in the Bible about your grace. Help us all to do these things. If we humble ourselves, if we walk with you, if we walk in a calling that you called us to do, we too, as Moses did, as Paul did, as Peter did, as Jesus did, find grace to help in our time of need. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.